are just some of his favorite things. One small elf martyred himself so the truth could be known. Brutally murdered and smeared in the snow. Santa Claus ordered the death of an elf. Often when she elf hath become young ladies, they're carried off in the night to become toys of a sexual nature after narcotics have reduced their fight. I have heard stories of decadent parties. Acts that would make you quite sick. Some say the proof is the factory bosses, half-breed enforcers who look like Saint Nick. One small elf martyred himself so the truth could be known. Brutally murdered, smeared in the snow. Santa Claus ordered the death of an elf.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Yes, yes indeed. Hello. My microphone's screwed up again. It'll take me 1 second to fix that. Input devices. Don't be at 0% microphone. There we go. Hello, hello. Hope I'm coming through loud and clear for you today. I am barely audible to myself. What is going on? I tell you what, that is one thing I am extremely disappointed in Ubuntu, is that its audio is hot trash. It gives me great heartburn. One moment. Okay, alright, there we go. Sorry about that. I hope you enjoyed that nice sad song, Death of an Elf. That's by Reverend Glenn Armstrong, and it is a pretty rare song. You can't really find it anywhere. There's one copy of it on YouTube, but it's sad, and it kind of fits along with kind of how it feels on Christmas when you think about all the horrible things going on, and we're, you know, having a good time. So anyway, enough of that. We gotta go ahead and check in with what's going on in the world.
World news.
This blender is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, first up, this news I collected at 3:30 this morning. So local time, 3:30. So that's what, it's technically 9 a.m. UTC, 0900, 9:30 UTC. So hopefully it's still relevant. Japan's trade ministry unveiled a raft of public procurement reforms on Friday following an outcry over a deal to disperse coronavirus relief to struggling businesses that involved powerful advertising agency Dentsu Inc. The Ministry of Economy, Trade, and Industry, METI, also known as METI, not MATI, like you'll hear about, on the Dubious Goals Committee. Hey, X1, no worries, it's Christmas time. The Ministry of Economy, said the new rules aim for greater transparency in its dealings with bidding entities and their audit and subcontracting networks, as well as on cost breakdowns and other aspects of procurement. The changes proposed by a panel of auditors and following months of deliberations would apply to METI's suspending, starting with its portion of a $200 billion extra budget passed this month that includes new COVID-related subsidies. The ministry launched the probe after lawmakers and experts questioned how taxpayers' money was spent under the coronavirus relief scheme and whether a small nonprofit entity that won the contract to disperse the funds was a front that would shield Dentsu, part of Dentsu Group Inc., from public scrutiny. The nonprofit Service Design Engineering Council, which won the $718 million contract, took a less than 1% cut of the awarded funds before passing the rest on to Dentsu, which in turn subcontracted the work to more than 60 companies. Yep. Hey, Zeptar, welcome to Calm. And if you are out there listening today, you can join in. The Calm is open. Just SSH over to SDF, type Calm, hit enter, and press G for go-to and go to a non-radio. There is help in the systems. Just press H once you launch Calm, and it'll help you guide you through all the different commands. It does function a little differently, but hey, it's pretty cool once you get into it. All right. Over in India, Modi calls farmers' protests over contested laws politically motivated. A political protest is politically motivated. Watch out, world. Next up, water is wet. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said on Friday that protests by farmers against the three laws brought by his government were politically motivated as he touted the success of an agricultural scheme launched last year. Thousands of farmers from several Indian states have been camped on the outskirts of New Delhi for over a month, blocking highways to demand that Modi's government repeal the law, the farm laws passed in September that they say threaten their livelihoods. But Modi's virtual public address on Friday was not focused on the laws under contention. Instead, he spoke via video conferencing to seven farmers from different states, asking him how they had benefited from PM Kisan, a cash transfer scheme in his government launched in February 2019, under which farmers get minimum income support. Gavel? Oh, that's a little hammer they use in court. Sorry, I was looking at Calm. That's a bad thing. The farmers Modi spoke with on Friday praised his scheme, but none were among the thousands who have been protesting. Modi repeatedly said some people were spreading lies and rumors about farmers' troubles and dismissed the protests as politically motivated by political opponents. So, yeah, he's It's not really a big surprise, but all of the far right, like almost dictators, kind of like the people that came in with the Trump wave of people who didn't really care what the facts were. They just wanted somebody that said things they liked. So it's kind of the same kind of behavior. Whether or not they'll leave, we'll see. Hopefully Brazil gets rid of Bolsonaro and Modi gets taken out of, gets voted out, and we'll get some rational leaders. We'll see. Fingers crossed. If we can get Boris Johnson out of there, that'd be good too. Yeah, just get all of these guys. So anyway, that is my hot take. Hey, welcome some new faces, new names in comm I haven't seen before. A Christian and Jay Hi. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. All right. So, BBC News is reporting Brexit, Northern Ireland reaction to trade deal. Politicians and business representatives in Northern Ireland have been reacting to the announcement that the EU and UK have reached a post-Brexit trade deal. It follows months of disagreements over fishing rights and future business rules. We have consistently urged both sides to achieve a deal. We will, of course, examine the details, both of the trade deal itself, as well as other issues, such as security, where agreement will be particularly important from the Northern Ireland viewpoint. Given the government's Northern Ireland protocol, a sensible trade deal between the UK and the EU was always the most favorable outcome for Northern Ireland. Moving forward, we will continue to work to seize the opportunities and address the challenges which arise from the UK's exit. So, we'll see how this goes. The article goes on to have quotes from all the different leaders of Northern Ireland. So if you don't know what they look like, it's a good one to go check out. All right. So, here's a nice happy story, or a friendly story. If you're looking for something to feel good about, this one's coming to us from the AP. AP always has a piece called One Good Thing, and this one I thought was pretty cool. Most people who head to Wusong Street in Hong Kong's old school neighborhood of Jordan are visiting its popular restaurants, serving everything from curries to seafood. Others may be headed for a lone refrigerator, painted blue, with a sign that reads, "Give what you can give, take what you need to take." The door of the fridge, sitting outside a hockey academy, opens to reveal it's stuffed with packets of instant noodles, biscuits, tins of food, and even socks and towels for anyone who may need them. Amin Khan, founder of a sports foundation on the same street, said he was inspired to create a community refrigerator after seeing a film about others doing the same. He found the refrigerator at a nearby refuse collection point and painted it blue. "It's like a dignity that when you go home, you open your fridge to get food," Khan said. "So I wanted the people to just feel like that. Even if it's a street, it's their community, it's their home. So they can simply just open it and then just put food there and collect the food." Khan's blue refrigerator project went viral on social media, and people have been dropping by to leave food inside. So it's pretty cool, right? Hooray, DGC's got their clock fixed. Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee happens every day at 19:30 UTC. So that means we are about 15 minutes and some change away. So definitely be cool to hang out and listen to that. Hope everyone's having a happy holiday. Let's keep this train on the tracks. So here's what's in the Brexit deal. We'll just run through a few things because this was big news yesterday, but some people have had time to look at it, and I think this was a nice quick breakdown of the major topics that you might care to know about, or at least that I thought was important to know about. So tariffs. Tariff-free and quota-free access to one of the world's biggest markets is the backbone of the Brexit deal and goes beyond the EU's deals with Canada or Japan. Trade. There will be mutual recognition of trusted trader programs. This means UK producers will have to comply with both UK and EU standards. There will be no more automatic recognition for doctors, nurses, architects, dentists, pharmacists, vets, or engineers. They will now have to seek recognition in the member state they wish to practice in. Mobility. UK nationals no longer have the freedom to work, study, start a business, or live in the EU. Visas will be required for stays over 90 days. Coordination of some social security benefits, such as old age pensions and health care, will make it easier to work abroad and not lose any pre-existing buildup of contributions to national insurance. Hey, welcome, Publius! Fisheries. The UK will leave the common fisheries policy. The annual turnover of EU fishing vessels from British waters is around 650 million euro, compared with 850 million euro from the UK flagged fleet. New quotas reducing the EU's share by 25% are due to be phased in over 5.5 years. A quarter of the EU's catch by value, or about 162.5 million euro a year, will be repatriated to UK flagged vessels by the end of that period. After that, the two sides will hold annual negotiations. The EU vessels that fish 6 to 12 nautical miles from the British coastline will be able to continue during the transition, but access will be negotiated on an annual basis after that. There is a 3-month notice for closing access. Should access be denied to either side, the other may seek compensation or apply tariffs in a proportionate way. So, very interesting, very, very cool. Oh, we got just a couple more. I'll just be a little bit quicker with these. Aviation and haulage will continue as before, with passenger and cargo planes still able to fly and land in the EU, including stopover flights from Heathrow and elsewhere in the UK that originated from outside the UK. Haulers will be allowed to continue to drive without special permits allocated in limited numbers to countries outside the EU. This comes as a relief to the logistics industry, which feared drivers being locked out in significant numbers. Staff second to the EU on business can stay for up to 3 years if they are managers and specialists, and up to 1 year for trainee employees. Those on short-term business will need a work permit and may stay for a period of up to 90 days in any 12-month period. France successfully kept the audiovisual sector out of the deal, and a major blow to the UK, which is home to around 1,400 broadcasters, about 30% of all the channels in the EU. Britain's thriving TV and video on demand service providers will no longer be able to offer pan European services to European viewers unless they relocate part of their business to an EU member state. And golly, there's just so much in this, it gets a little boring, I guess. But it's good to know. The UK is going to continue to participate in the EU's $80 billion Horizon Europe program, 80 billion euro, as a paying associate member for 7 years. They'll also continue in the Copernicus and Euratom. The UK is out of the University Exchange Program, balking at the EU's insistence that to be an associate member, it would have to commit a 7-year payment plan. The Irish government on Thursday confirmed students in Northern Ireland can continue to access Erasmus as part of its promise to make sure Irish citizens in the region will never be left behind. Their fellow citizens south of the border. Citizens in Northern Ireland can also avail of a scheme to replace the European Health Insurance Card funded by the Irish government. And so, yeah, you can definitely check out more details and learn more about it over there at theguardian.com if you want, but it is pretty interesting, yeah. The EU's flagship $80 billion Horizon Europe program. So the $80 billion is the program. So the associate membership fee, I'm not sure. So anyway, that's kind of how that's going. Welcome. I'm glad people are hanging out in calm. It's been a good time. We've got just about 10 minutes to go. So let's go ahead and talk about, well, I only grabbed a few stories, so we'll just keep on going. I played a song at the beginning of the show, so I kind of am like, well, do I play a song? I don't think so. I do want to give you a little aside, but first.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yep. Thank you, SDF. Pretty awesome that we get to do this and have fun radio times. Wanted to mention, yesterday my parents swung by. I had brought them about 50 records and asked them to digitize them. And my dad, who's retired, was like, sure. And then that was probably 8 years ago or so. I just never went and got the records. And so I said, well, we got to stay apart for the holiday. We don't live in the same house. But if you brought the records up, we could be socially distant and stuff. I said, oh, sure. Well, they don't listen to their records anymore, so they brought, like, I don't know, like 600 records with them. They're 3 very large totes full of records. So I'm pretty excited. I'm making a new Libre base, so it's part of Libre Office. It's the database one. And I'm going to use the form functionality on my phone to then go ahead and catalog all these records. So, whew, wish me luck. That's going to be my project for the next couple days. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's talk some news. All right. We'll keep on a rolling. So, France's Macron is no longer showing COVID-19 symptoms. So, in a good news, French President Emmanuel Macron is set to end his quarantine after showing no more symptoms of COVID-19. He spent 7 days in self-isolation after testing positive for the virus last Thursday and showing symptoms of fatigue, coughing, and muscle aches. His positive test on December 17th prompted a track-and-trace effort across Europe following numerous meetings between French leaders and EU heads of government. During his quarantine, Macron ran meetings remotely from the presidential retreat of La Lanterne, close to the Palace of Versailles. The French authorities are concerned that the holiday period could see a new spike in infections after the country's total COVID-19 death toll went above 60,000 last week. So, very interesting. And of course, this is sad news. This is one of the sad stories. As COVID-19 continues to surge across America, its death toll close to 326,000 by Thursday morning. 84.5 million U.S. residents are expected to travel around Christmas and New Year, directly flouting public health officials' repeated warnings that such travel could worsen the pandemic yet further. Christmas Eve also brought the grim news that California had become the first state to record more than 2 million cases of COVID-19. According to Johns Hopkins University, California has recorded 2,010,157 infections and more than 23,000 deaths. More than 18,000 people were hospitalized, and many intensive care units were filled. So, pretty scary stuff there. So don't travel if you don't have to. And if you do travel, wear a mask. Greetings, Harry Larry. Welcome. Merry Christmas. Okay, so let's do these. Here we go. So this is a little bit of tech news.
This is time for tech news.
This is also very, very much matches my kind of speed. Oh, and Merry Christmas, Publius. U.S. company GoDaddy apologized Thursday after an email that promised employees a Christmas bonus in the midst of the pandemic and economic crisis turned out to be a computer security test. Yeah, that's the sad news there. GoDaddy takes the security of our platform extremely seriously. We understand some employees were upset by the phishing attempt and felt it was insensitive, for which we have apologized. While the test mimicked real attempts in play today, we need to do better and be more sensitive to our employees, added the Arizona-based company. Yeah, so what happened in December, around 500 employees clicked on an email from the company offering a Christmas bonus of $650 and asking them to fill out a form with their personal details. 2 days later, a different message appeared. You're receiving this email because you failed our recent phishing test. The technique of phishing, widely used by computer hackers, sends emails pretending to be a person known to the intended target with the objective of obtaining information to infiltrate computer systems. see ya, Zeptar. So yeah, we do this at, I've seen this done at a couple different jobs, and so it's always interesting what they choose as the subject, because yeah, if you mention money, people are going to click it. It's pretty often. Sorry about that. I am talking a lot, and so with my humidity in my computer space is down to 24%. I might actually have to get a humidifier in here because below a certain humidity, it's a lot easier to get sparks. Wah, 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 wah. All right. Yeah, phishing is a lot more like phishing is working on the people, which are the easiest of the targets. Speaking of people, let's talk about this real quick. So this is over at the BBC. You can listen to it if you want to look at it later. It's from the Life Project. But it says, why your weak tie friendships may mean more than you think. And I'll just give you kind of the summary here. But they basically say that you have two tiers of friends. You've got two circles of friends. You've got your close friends, and then you've got these not so close friends, or these what they call weak tie and weak tie versus strong tie friendships. These are like people you see at the market every day, or that guy you see in your gym class, or somebody like that. Encounters with weak ties, from the article here, encounters with weak ties can be good for our mental and health and well-being too. When Gillian Sandstrom was living in Toronto as a graduate student in psychology, she often had to walk between two university buildings, passing a hot dog stand on the way. "I'd always smile and say hi to the hot dog lady," she says. "We never even had a conversation, but I felt recognized, I felt connected, and that made me feel good." That episode inspired Sandstrom, now a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of Essex, to investigate the extent to which people derive happiness from weak tie relationships. So it's a very interesting article. It's a bit long, but you can actually listen to it. They've got it as kind of like a podcast if you want to check it out. It's just really cool. I thought it was great, especially me, because I have lots of weak friendships and very few strong friendships. So I thought that was cool. Oh, man, we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show and the last three stories. So let's see if I can make it happen. why have Midwestern cities banned a beloved winter pastime? Lawsuits, of course. It's always the lawyers. This is from AccuWeather. It was linked to off of an opinion piece I was reading. But basically, according to a study from the Center of Injury Research and Policy at Nationwide Children's Hospital, more than 20,000 Americans younger than age 19 receive treatment for sledding-related injuries each year. Some cities in Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana have banned sledding on steep hills in recent years. Other municipalities have posted warning signs cautioning people to sled at their own risk. Dubuque, Iowa is among the cities that have banned the pastime. In 2015, the city council voted to ban sledding in 48 of the city's 50 public parks. Violators at the time would risk a fine of $750. So, very, very interesting. At least I thought it was neat. I've never lived where you could sled on snow. But it's something to think about. San Onofre Nuclear Generation Station, unit number 1, 20 billion kilowatt hours, January 16th, 1975, 8:30 a.m. Heck yeah, that's rad, man. A temp worker died on the job after FedEx didn't fix a known hazard. The fine, $7,000. God bless America, our home, sweet home. That's right, last minute here. Fannie Stanberry had been on the job for 2 months as a package handler at FedEx's massive world hub when toward the end of her overnight shift, packages started to fall from a huge shipping container that rolled past her. As Stanberry, then 61, bent to pick up the packages, she fell and became trapped between the catwalk she'd been standing on and the wheeled platform carrying the shipping container, also known as a dolly. "I thought I was a goner," Stanberry said. She broke 8 ribs in her left arm and lacerated her liver. She said, "I had to learn how to walk all over again." Jeepers creepers. Anyway, it's pretty wild stuff, but that's all the time we got. Merry Christmas, you guys. FedEx basically just told OSHA it would train employees to be safer, and they said, okay, that's fine.
Well, that sound means
I'll see you Monday.
Our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
7